Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 31. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the Scripture on the screen. Again, that is Mark, chapter 6, verse 31. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last year, my wife received AirPods as a gift from a good friend. And when you put them on, the sound that comes out of them is so robust that it cancels out any other noise that is present. And so I'll be in the kitchen, literally like less than 10 feet away from my wife, calling her, "Hey babe, babe, babe." And after calling her like 5 times, I'll go to the living room and she's wearing those AirPods. So no wonder she can't hear me as she's bobbing her head and dancing to whatever music she's listening to. Sometimes I'll be in the exact same room as her, and when she has those things on, I will say whole sentences towards her, and she won't even turn her head or respond because she doesn't hear a thing that I'm saying to her. And for many of us, our lives are filled with noise, as we are seasoned to fill any sort of silence that we have with noise. I mean, just look around. And most people have some sort of device in their ear, at the gym, on the train, even when they're walking. And when we're driving, our first inclination is to do what? Is to turn on the radio to hear the news or listen to music. When we're doing work, or even if we're at a coffee shop, oftentimes we have background music going on. Or if you're in a cubicle, you can hear the chattering of coworkers around you. Even when we're in conversation with others, we can be uncomfortable with silence. And so oftentimes we just speak just to fill the space. Or even if there is silence, we're replaying thoughts in our minds of the things that need to be done, the ways that we have failed again, or what someone had said to us. But in the midst of all the noise that we surround ourselves with, if God wanted to speak to us, would we hear him? If God wanted to tell us something, would we know it was him? Because when it comes to prayer, most people can think that it's a monologue. I talk to God as I tell him what my needs are and what he needs to do for me. But prayer is actually meant to be a dialogue where we speak with God and God speaks with us. Prayer is both speaking and listening to God, and this works best when we're in a relationship with God. Because it is only when you know someone and spend time with someone that a deep relationship starts to form, and it becomes now a back and forth communication. And if I don't have a relationship with God, then it's hard for me to recognize when he speaks. And if I do have a relationship with God, I may not be able to hear him when he does speak because of all the other noise and priorities in my life. And as we've been learning in this series, God wants relationship and connection with us. He wants us to speak with him, but he also wants us to stop and listen to hear what he has to say. Because what he has to say could change our perspectives, our decisions, our lives, our environments, and even our eternity. And God may want to speak with us. However, there are 3 things we may be doing that are drowning out his voice. The first is our busyness. If we're always go, 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 and we have no breathing room because we have more than we can handle on our plates, God may be trying to speak to us, but we're too busy to pay attention or to hear what he has to say. And when we are busy, we can't be present with God, which makes it hard to hear what he has to say. It's like the wife who wants to have a conversation with her husband, but he's too focused on his work on the computer while she's speaking to him. He's not able to hear what she says because he has other priorities at that moment. And just like it's hard to have any real relationship with anyone when they do that to us, the same applies to God. The second thing that can drown out the voice of God is our unbelief. If we take steps to seek God in order to hear from Him and actually do what God says, the more our trust and faith in Him starts to grow. However, the opposite is also true. The less time we spend with God, the more our faith actually deteriorates, which leads to unbelief and a distrust of God. Soon enough, God may want to speak to us, but because we're so used to functioning without Him and relying on ourselves and our own wisdom, we may not take Him and what He says seriously. The third thing that can drown out the voice of God is when we are living in habitual sin. This is where we know that what we're doing is something that God may not want, yet we insist on doing it again and again. And not only do we go against what God would want, but we justify that what we're doing is right, or we make excuses in order to continue to do it. This could be compulsive lying, pride, sleeping around, unforgiveness, gambling, drug or alcohol abuse, pornography use, even complaining or gossiping, just to name a few things. I mean, we can't keep ignoring what God wants and expect Him to still bless us and speak to us, especially when we're choosing to live our lives the way that we want to live our lives. When we know that what we're doing is wrong, but still insist on doing it, we become unblessable. And when we live in ways that are unblessable, it's hard to hear the voice of God until we take steps to humble ourselves and repent or turn from our ways. You know, in a sermon series called Reliance, Seeking God Like Never Before, as we learn to go from self-reliance to now God-reliance through 40 days of prayer. And during this series, we've been seeking God for who He is, for the obstacles that we're facing, and for Him to move in, through, and around us. And our hope is that as a result, you are able to pray with more confidence and with greater faith than before because of God's power in your life. And if we know that prayer is a dialogue with God, then today I want to talk about how we can hear from and listen to God so that prayer becomes the conversation that it was meant to be. And this was what God intended from the very beginning when He created humans, so that we could experience deep relationship with Him. We would be able to talk and listen to Him directly. God's first recorded words to the first two humans He created, known as Adam and Eve, were a warning. When God spoke and commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." But Adam and Eve didn't listen to God, and as a result, sin entered into this world and affected all of humanity, as it broke our relationship with God and separated us from direct communication with Him. However, despite what happened, God still found ways to speak to His beloved people. There were times that we read in Scripture where God spoke directly to His people. He did this with a man named Abraham, when He told Abraham to pack up and leave from where he was living and to trust God to go to a foreign land so that through Abraham, the nation of Israel would be birthed. God spoke to a general named Joshua when he was about to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And He told Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God spoke to priests and even prophets who would be the ones that relayed what God said to the rest of the nation of Israel. And often God's words were written down and preserved through scrolls so that we would always know what God had to say. It was through such writings that people could learn about who God is, His promises, His desires, and His redemptive plan for the world and for humanity. Today, we know these writings to be known as the Bible. In fact, God can use whatever means He chooses to communicate to His people. He did it to Joseph through dreams, Moses through a burning bush, Daniel through visions, and he even used a donkey to speak to a stubborn prophet named Balaam. But this was only for a time, because God had a plan to forgive sin and reconcile humans back to him while providing a way for all of his creation to have access to speak and to listen to him. This plan unfolded in the first century when God came as a human, as Jesus, and Jesus walked among us and spoke directly to those that he interacted with. And by choosing to die on a cross for our sins so that we could experience forgiveness and mercy for our sins, God now created an avenue so that all people could choose to have the kind of relationship with God that he intended from the very beginning, a personal relationship where they could talk with God and hear from him personally. And before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he also promised that he would send God, the Holy Spirit, to those who followed him, saying, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." When Jesus left, he told his followers that God, the Holy Spirit, would now guide them as they had the means to talk and listen to God and even walk with God. Everywhere they went, he would be with them. So let's talk about six of the most common ways that God communicates with us today. The first way that God communicates and speaks with us is through his written word, also known as the Bible. Every time we read the Bible, we are reading God's words to us, and we are giving God the opportunity to speak to us. Paul, a follower of Jesus, said, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So it is God's word that shows us what is true and what is not true when it comes to our lives. God's words not only encourage us, but they also correct us. Whenever we read or listen to the words of God, the scriptures now speak to us in our specific situation, and it transforms us as our faith in him now starts to grow. That is why scripture says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." That is why we study scripture in church, in life groups, and on our own, so that we can hear from God together and individually on a daily basis. Scripture speaks to everything that we're facing in life, like our worry, depression, anger, restlessness, uncertainty, bitterness, failure, because God cares about every single detail of our lives. And every time we engage with the scriptures, we actually give God the opportunity to speak into our lives as he guides us in and through our situations. We don't ever have to wonder what God says about anything, because it's right in the Bible. And the more time we spend with God, the clearer his voice becomes in our lives. You know, a lot of people read one scripture here and one scripture there, hoping to hear from God. And yeah, God can speak through a scripture. Or even sometimes they'll just like open the Bible and point at a random scripture and see what God has to say. And yeah, those are all means that God could use to speak to us. But we want to be able to give God the opportunity to speak to us more than just one sentence or verse. In fact, God has a lot to say to us, but sometimes we're just not available to hear what he has to say because we don't read scripture on our own. Or even when we do read scripture, we just limit it to just one verse. But just imagine if we were to read through bigger chunks of scripture, how God could use that and speak to us, because God uses his word to speak to us. And if you're not sure where to start, I encourage you to begin with the book of John, which is the fourth book in the New Testament. John was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and you get to read his eyewitness account of the life of Jesus. And when you take time to read through the book of John, you will not only learn more about God, but also start to hear from God. Then, once you finish John, you can read through another book in the Bible. And that way, it gives you a chance to just read through more scripture as God speaks back to you. The second way that God speaks to us is through His Holy Spirit, in a still small voice in our heart. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is not a something or force, but He is God. And the moment that we receive Jesus as our Savior, God sends the Holy Spirit to now come and live in our heart, and in our body becomes now the temple where the Holy Spirit resides. And it is the Holy Spirit that actually helps us to live in a way that honors God. We can't follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit's direction, power, and guidance. And as we follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to make us more aware of His presence through our conscience, and He helps us to develop spiritual ears and spiritual eyes that are more sensitive to hearing from God and how He may be leading us. It gives us the eyes to see what God may be doing in our midst. And He uses such things in order to speak to us in a still, small voice. Some examples are when you are talking to someone, and then there is that still, small voice that tells you that what you said was a bit harsh. And maybe you want to follow up and apologize for the way that you said what you did. Or when you're watching something, maybe on TV, and there's that still small voice in your spirit that is telling you that you should probably watch something else. Or you're in a situation and you hear that still small voice tell you that you need to do something about the situation. In reality, these still small voices can actually be promptings from God, as He speaks to us. But we do have to also remember that the Holy Spirit's voice is always loving and encouraging and never condemning, even when we mess up. So when we hear condemning voices like, "You are not adequate, you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough," we can discern that those voices are not from God, because God's voice always builds up and it never tears down. God doesn't use fear, condemnation, or guilt in order to get us to do things, but rather it is His loving voice that moves us. He gives us a free will, and when He leads us to do anything, it is never by force or coercion, but He does so gently in a still, small voice. And whenever we do hear a still, small voice in our heart, we want to compare what is said to what God says in His Word, because God will never contradict what He says in Scripture, nor will He ever ask us to do something that is sinful. God will never tell you to be immoral or to do something that hurts or hates yourself or hurts or hates someone else. He's not going to tell you to treat others like you are better than them or even speak harshly to them. He won't tell you to lie or deceive, but to be truthful with yourself, with Him, and with others. He won't tell you to worry, but to trust and to surrender your life. That is why the more time we spend reading Scripture, the clearer the Holy Spirit's voice becomes in our lives. The third way that God communicates and speaks to us is by having the peace of God in our lives. Though the Bible does give us guiding principles to life that we can take in order to hear from God and make our decisions, the Bible is not specific in telling us how to navigate certain decisions that we encounter in life, like what job to choose or what to study in school, or do I say yes to that opportunity or do I say no? The Bible doesn't tell us the exact person to marry, but the kind of person to marry. Like, they should be someone who is a follower of Jesus and lives in a way that pleases him. The Bible tells us how to have limits and how to have Sabbath so that we don't burn out. And when it comes to helping us to make specific decisions, one of the ways that God speaks to us is by having or not having peace. Scripture says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There is peace that comes when we follow God and when we make decisions based on what He would want for us. On the flip side, when we do make our own choices apart from what God would want, there is no peace, but instead there's worry and fear. Jesus was very clear to his disciples, saying, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." There have been many times in my life where the situation looked perfect on paper, but I somehow had no peace about it. In the natural, everything looked good, but in my spirit, I had no peace. A job offer where I would have total financial security and a great retirement plan. I mean, I would be set for my career and my life, but I would be working long and odd hours and would not be able to develop personal friendships or have a family or to be able to go to church. From a career perspective, it would give me status and money and success, but I had no peace about the decision, knowing what the trade-off was. I know a friend who was dating a guy for almost a year and a half. Her parents liked him. Her friends thought that he was a good guy. But when he brought up the topic of marriage, she had no peace about marriage with this guy. And she knew that she had to end the relationship. See, the lack of peace is God's way of speaking to us. Maybe it's in a relationship that you're in that you know is not right for you, or a decision that you have been making or are about to make that gives you no peace. And I remember times when I made decisions relationally, financially, personally, where even though I didn't have God's peace, I still went ahead with it. And such decisions usually ended up in shambles and heartache. But on the flip side, there are times where things are unknown and can be scary, and you still have a profound sense of God's peace. Like having that hard conversation with a family member or a friend. It's hard to do, but you know you need to do it. And there is peace because you know that that's the way to go. Or being more generous with your resources and giving it towards God's purposes. I mean, it's going to stretch you, but there's peace. And this is not an imagined peace, but one where we have supernatural calmness in the midst of all our uncertainty. It's a peace that God gives to us when we honor Him with what we do and what we have. The fourth way that God can speak to us is through other believers, also known as the church. Scripture says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." See, hearing from God and listening to what He may be speaking to us is not just meant to be done on our own. In fact, the church is the people of God, and so God uses other believers to encourage and speak His truth to us. This is especially important when we're making decisions. We want to talk with other followers of Jesus so that they can discern with us as to what is wise or even unwise. And in order to make decisions that will honor God, we need community, and we can't choose to remain isolated. Because when we're isolated, we can actually frequently make poor decisions because we don't see our own selfish motives or even our blind spots. God has given us other believers to be our mirrors so that we can be aware of our wrong motives and see the blind spots that we never saw before. But if you want to hear from God, it cannot just be talking to anyone. In fact, just because someone claims to believe in Jesus does not mean that they're actually walking with or following Jesus. So you may be friends with them and ask for guidance, but they can actually end up guiding you away from what God wants. And one way that you can discern whether or not you want to seek counsel from someone is by really asking yourself this question: would I want to follow Jesus like they follow Jesus? These are people where you can see that their lives and their decision-making reflect the things of God. These are people who are successful in the area that you're seeking guidance in. These are people that know you, and they can speak truth into your life and situation in accordance to what Scripture says. These are people that can caution you about pitfalls that you may overlook. It is through such people that you can hear God's voice, because such people want to encourage you in order to honor God in whatever you do, even if honoring God is the hard thing. The fifth way that we can hear from God is through our circumstances. Scripture says, "These are the words of Him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open." Pastor Jimmy Evans has a prayer that he prays and that he invites us to pray as well. "God, close doors for me that no man can open, and open doors for me that no man can close until I'm standing in your perfect will." We want to hear from God so we can also know what to do. That is why open doors are opportunities to talk with God and for you to ask Him, "Hey God, is this a door you would like me to walk through?" Because there are going to be situations where you have prayed, where you've read God's word, where you've talked with others as they have discerned with you, where doors are open and you will have to take the step of faith to trust that with how God is leading you, you are able to make a solid decision. And God will give you peace about it. And many times we may want something or a door closes and we get frustrated and we get angry. And we get angry at God because we have our own plans and our own timing of when things needed to happen. But instead, we want to look at those closed door opportunities as a way that God is steering us to where He wants us to be, and even steering us to a place that is better. Because circumstances are a way that God steers us to where we need to go or not go, or even areas we may need to grow. There have been times in my life where I have tried to force doors to open in relationships, with my wants and desires, with my plans, with my finances, that I knew God was shutting. And each of those times, I ended up regretting trying to force those doors open because I wanted my way instead of God's way. I ended up missing out on God's best for my life, and I ended up wasting time, resources, and energy. So pay attention to doors that are open and doors that are shut as one of the ways that God may be steering us through our lives. But know that whenever a door opens, you still want to continue to discern and hear what God says by looking at God's word, by looking at how God may be speaking in that still small voice in your spirit, looking at the peace that you have or you don't have, looking to other believers who can counsel you, and then figuring out if the circumstance or open door is a good fit in this moment. And a last and most common way that God speaks to us is through silence and solitude. Jesus told His disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." We talked earlier about how our busyness can drown out the voice of God because we're so go, 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 and we don't have time to be still and to listen and to just be silent. And so in order to fight this, we have to be intentional to daily draw away from our activities or our task in order to be silent before God so that we can hear Him speak to us. Last week, we talked about setting appointments all throughout our day with God in order to pray and connect with Him. So it is also using some of those times to not just speak to God, but to be silent and listen to how He may be wanting to speak to you. There are many different ways to do this, but one practice I enjoy is scripture silence prayer. You start by finding a place where the environment is silent so that you can be silent and alone. This could be in the bathroom with the door closed, or sitting in your car, or just out in nature. Then, it is thinking and reflecting about what is on your mind and how you're feeling. Are you anxious? Are you angry? Are you scared? Are you upset? This is where scripture comes in handy. And in order to help you, we're going to give each and every one of you a Bible promise book. Did you know that there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible of how God wants to speak to us? Well, this book captures some of them. And there is a table of contents that actually splits up what God has to say based on how you may be feeling. So you can turn to that section with whatever you are feeling and then select one of those promises. So for example, if I'm fearful, I like to pick the verse, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you." Then it is praying and asking God, "Here I am, Lord, please speak to me." And then it is focusing on that one particular scripture in silence. If your mind drifts, it is refocusing back on the scripture, as this is God's word back to you as he speaks into your situation or into however you may be feeling. The scripture is a start to what God says, but the silence allows him to speak even beyond what the scripture may want to say. When you are silent, you are now giving God the freedom and opportunity to speak. And if you're new to this practice, then I encourage you to start small with just 5 or even 10 minutes of silence. And you will find that in your time of silence and solitude, it will actually start to grow longer in the time. And you will be more comfortable in that silence and comfortable with God in that silence. In fact, the time of silence will be so refreshing because you aren't used to it. And just imagine, if you had these pockets of silence throughout the day, you are now giving God the opportunity to now speak into your life because you are making time and space for God to speak. Remember, the more time we spend with God, the clearer his voice becomes in our lives. But the listening part takes time to practice. At first, we may feel awkward in the silence, but when we do this, it will actually allow us to get used to the silence, and it gives God an opportunity to speak. And just like eating one healthy meal is a good start, it doesn't combat the unhealthy lifestyle of foods that we've been eating. And just like having one workout is good, one workout doesn't automatically get us in shape. It is the consistency of eating right and exercising consistently that changes our fitness. And this is the same when it comes to listening to God. The daily practice of scripture reading, being aware of God's Holy Spirit, having an awareness of peace, being in community, being aware of the circumstances and practicing silence and solitude, all these things can help us to hear God in clearer ways. And when that happens, real godly transformation happens as you start to experience prayer as the conversation that it was meant to be. Because the more time we spend with God, the clearer his voice becomes in our lives. Let me pray for us. God, thank you that you give us so many ways to hear from you as you guide us in our lives. And as we continue to walk with you and talk with you, help us to not just hear you, but to cooperate with you towards true transformation. And as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to be able to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his forgiveness and mercy for your sins. You want to hear from him. Well, know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for all of eternity. He lived a perfect life, and then he chose to die for your sins and my sins so that we could have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.